All right, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, your anointing means everything. And so we pray, Father, that your anointing would be on the words, the message, and the power of your Holy Spirit would come forth and touch hearts and lives and teach us, Lord, to walk in your presence and to bring others into your fold by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Amen. So up until Wednesday, I kept asking the Lord, what is it you want to say? What do you want to say? I had nothing. Normally I have lots to say, but I had nothing. And so people were praying for me, and God gave me this message Wednesday morning. And I feel like I'm maybe preaching to the choir, but if it's only to the choir, it's a message for you to take out with you where you go. So the idea is, the word is that that in Christ, God was reconciling himself to the world, the world to himself, I'm sorry, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ, making his appeal through us. I would like to read this word, and it said, God was not counting our trespasses against us, but entrusting us the message of reconciliation. So therefore, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for your sake. He made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I heard a preacher once say that when God is in Christ reconciling himself to the world, it means that no matter what you've done, it does not bother God. He is not going to separate himself from you because of whatever you have done. So that means if you are a pedophile, a homosexual, a adulterer, a fornicator, you've murdered or been a thief, divorced or whatever, he's not separating himself and he's not counting those sins against you. He has completely forgiven them. When he looks at you, he does not see those sins because Christ has become your sin for you. And no longer does God look at you as a sinner. He looks at you through the righteous blood of Jesus, and you are completely righteous in his eyes. So, there's a society called Skull and Bones, which some of our presidents have been part of. And they are secret societies. And one of the things they have to do when they're in the secret society is tell the deepest, darkest sin that they've ever committed and shared it with this group. The problem with that is that now that they know this sin, they own you. And they can threaten to divulge it anytime you don't do what they want. So judges and lawyers and politicians, people in power who have been as part of these secret societies, are controlled by these societies. And even if they're not controlled in the sense of they'll threaten to expose you, if one of your members in your Skull and Bones says, do this, because they're part of that, they will do it for you, even if it's not right. There's a list of curses that people speak over their own lives when they become Masons, if they reveal the secrets of the Masonic order. And they make vows and they curse themselves, because if they expose the sins or the secrets of the society, they promise to gut themselves or some other thing. They're very evil things, but I have known that the most resistance I've ever felt in my churches and Presbyterian church was from the Masons. When the Holy Spirit started to move, they crushed it because they were not in control. They didn't want God to be in control. They wanted to control. And so money and power they would use to manipulate or to suppress or kick out pastors that didn't follow the toe of the line, because they are under a demonic force that causes them to resist the movement of God. Now, one of the reasons they said that Newt Gingrich was interviewed, why the elites hate Donald Trump. And he said, because he's not part of a secret society. They couldn't control him. That's why they hated him. So a list of all those sins that you can imagine more. I can't even name them all, but there's such perversion out there that every person can in their heart knows what they have done wrong. And Satan knows your deepest sins. He helped you commit them so that you would be enslaved by guilt and fear of exposure and fear of consequences. Those hidden things in our heart that we don't want anybody else to know. And while he holds those secret sins, he is your master and you fear the light. I'm just going to give you an example of what these false vows made in these secret societies are like. When you vow to hurt yourself or others or to be drowned or whatever, if they violate the vows or the secrets, you put yourself under a self-made curse that God wants to break. You have to renounce those vows or you are bound by them and burdened by them. And they will subconsciously control your behavior because you're submitting to a lie that you've spoken over your own life. And Jesus said this about those vows. I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So the vows that the people take in these secret societies are evil. There's no other way of describing it. They violate the word of God. But when you are afraid that someone knows your secrets and is going to control you, then you are bound by them to listen to what they say, even if you don't want to do, and you know what they say is wrong. And our society is full of this corruption. Jeffrey Epstein has controlled a lot of people through the exposure that might happen if they found out what they had done on his island. We don't know how many judges are taking bribes or under threat, but we have a lot of it in our country. Jesus says this, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. When Satan holds that darkness over you, he can manipulate and control you through the fear of what will happen to you if your deeds are exposed. Yet the only cure for that is to come to Jesus. To come before the Lord, confess your sins, and acknowledge them, and ask God to forgive and to cleanse you and remove it from you. David, who murdered Uzziah and had adultery with his wife Bathsheba and then married her, he had to come before the Lord and confess that what he'd done is wrong. And when he did, God restored him. But until he did, he was under demonic powers. It says in John 3:16, everybody knows the first part of the verse, but that's not just the important part. God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Amen. So God is not counting those sins against you. He is calling you to come to him so that he can forgive you and wash you clean. No matter if you're in your mind, you're thinking this dark thing that you've done or the things that you've thought or things that you don't want anybody else to know. Even if you have been abused and you think you're responsible for it, which you're not. But the memory of that thing holds over you, that darkness and condemnation and the guilt and fear. God wants you free of all that. In Jesus, you don't have to carry those burdens. You may have to forgive the people who have done things to you, but you don't have to carry the weight of those things, that fear, that guilt, that condemnation. It's not part of who you are in Christ Jesus. He wants to eliminate it from you. He came not to condemn the world, but to, so matter how dark that thing you've done, he didn't come to condemn. He came to set you free of that, if you will come to him. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. God has set this parameter around us that if our hearts are so wedded to darkness that we enjoy it, prefer it, we will not come to salvation and to the light. It says it right here. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light. But there are many, many people who have done wicked things but are not in favor of it and ashamed of it. And those are the ones Satan holds illegally because God wants those people set free. There was one person on the cross who recognized that Jesus was innocent, and there was another who condemned Jesus. That choice is there for everyone. And if you know that you've done wrong, but you don't wish you had done wrong and are sorrowful for it, Jesus is there to set you free. He's there. It says in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. What does it mean to bear your sins? What does it mean that he bore your sins? It is if Jesus committed your sins and you didn't. That is what it means when he bore it. Like he did the sin and you didn't. In God's eyes, you never committed the sin because Jesus did. Jesus bore it for you. He bore it. That is what it means to be cleansed, as if you've never done anything wrong. That's what Jesus does for you. That's why it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You're a newborn baby, absolutely free of sin and corruption, washed by the blood of the Lamb. You are brand new. And God wants you to see yourself that way through the blood of Christ. You are absolutely free and have never sinned. You're perfect in his eyes because of the blood of Christ. Now we all know that's, in the reality, that isn't necessarily true. And yet, in our right standing before God because of Jesus Christ, we have been made righteous by his blood. And we have become God's righteousness as if we have never done anything wrong. And that's why Paul says, if God forgives everything, should we go ahead and sin? He said, no way. No way. That defeats the whole purpose of God recreating you into holiness so that you can walk in holiness with Jesus and to be his vessel where the Holy Spirit resides in you and exudes out of you to the world around you. He's made you whole for himself so that you might be a vessel for others. That's why he says, For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are God's righteousness. We are holy and set apart. God is calling us to walk in this peace. And I was praying today that there would be people who have never heard this message of God's goodness and come forward in faith. And if you need salvation, today is the day of salvation, to accept Jesus into your heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior. There is no other day better than today. And so I won't single you out. You don't need to be ashamed in front of everybody else, but all you need to do is pray and say, Lord, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness. And I accept you, Lord, as my Savior. That's all you need to do. Go before God and accept him. As he's already accepted you, he's not waiting for you. He's waiting for you to accept him and what he's done for you. My dad would say, I'm trying to be a good person. I hope he'll accept me. And I said, that's not the issue. He's already accepted you. The question is, will you accept him? He's already done these things for you so that you will be whole. Will you take it? Will you receive it? Will you acknowledge it and take it into your heart and be one with him? It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far God has cast your sins away. And it says he has no remembrance of your sins. When you come to Jesus, you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you are a brand new creation. And everything you've done wrong is gone. It's never happened. God has freed you from that. And he wants to clear your conscience so that you no longer walk around in fear and guilt and shame. And only in Jesus can you find that relief. There's no other way. So today is the day. Come to Jesus. I told Gary this is going to be more Baptist than I've ever been. Today is the day. Today is the day to receive him if you have not. Now, if you already received him, take this message out. Because this is the good news. That's what the good news is. That is the good news, that Jesus already loves you. He's already forgiven you. He's not counting what you've done wrong. He wants you in fellowship with him. And you know, they have this caricature of us as pointing out everybody's sins, and you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong, and you're doing this wrong, as if we are judging and condemning, which is the, you know, in terms of religion, that's what happens. But if you have failed greatly like I have failed, you have no room to judge others because you have failed greatly and been forgiven. Therefore, you are obligated to forgive others. You can't set yourself up higher than them. And if you look at all the great men in history, they've all failed miserably, and then they've become worthy vessels. And the epitome of that is Peter, who said, "I'll follow you to death." And then 3 days, you know, then is denying him three times in one night. And he realizes that he is self-deceived, full of bravado and confidence that he didn't really have. He's really a coward and is afraid. And he's broken, and Jesus has to come to him and ask him three times if he will become a leader of the sheep, feed the sheep. And each time he says, first time he says, "You know, I like you a lot, Jesus." So that's the Greek. And then the second time Jesus says, ask him, you know, "Feed my sheep." He says, "Lord, I like you a whole lot." And finally he says, "Lord, you know I love you completely." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." He takes the broken and he makes them the vessels of mercy and grace and kindness. And he makes them the ones who are able to love the lost and the sinners instead of judging them. That's what he's doing in us as we confess our sins and come to him. So, if you haven't, let Jesus cleanse you, heal you. Come to him today. In Jesus' name, amen. So at least this will go out on the internet and somebody who's never heard it may hear it, you know, who's never heard that. I just prayed that the Holy Spirit would be in charge today, because, amen. We do communion. Okay, so let me just pray over the communion. You guys come up. In the communion is a covenant meal, and we're